And now we're coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker. And what really makes me mad about the whole thing, being in the hospital this weekend and convalescing and recovering and recuperating and resting and everything else, what really makes me mad is that the devil and none of his people took the time off while I was off. I mean, I don't think that's fair. They, a lot of stuff going on. The Grammys, I didn't sit around Sunday evening and watch the Grammys. But, and I probably would have turned it if I had. But, lots of things going on, and it is so germane, it is so coincidental with everything that we've been talking about in the last few weeks in the Watchman video broadcast. And so I'm not going to overlook it. Going to deal with it today. Pastor Mike here, good to be with you today, and good to be alive. My voice is still not where I want it to be. It's not where it should be. I've been sort of resting it ever since Thursday night. And just in case you haven't really heard everything that went on, was in a rear-end collision Thursday evening about 7:30. I was taking Caleb to basketball practice. I was stopped at a stoplight, just waiting for the light to turn green. There was a pickup truck in front of me. And the next thing I know, a car, an SUV, I think, hit me from behind. I kept hearing the ambulance attendant was asking the officer, you know, how fast this person was going. He said about 35, 40 miles an hour when this vehicle hit me from behind. And it tore my van all to pieces. I've posted some pictures on Facebook, and I'm going to try to remember to put them on my blog later so everybody can see the picture of my... By the way, if anybody is interested in purchasing a 2006 Toyota Accordion, I know where you can get one cheap, because that's what it turned my van into. It turned it into an accordion. And I had my seatbelt on, just so you'll know. I was observing all of the laws of the state of Missouri, and I paid for it. I'm not saying anything against wearing a seatbelt. Had I not been wearing a seatbelt, I probably would have ended up somewhere in the dashboard or up on the, you know, console. That's how hard she hit me. And but anyway, it rattled me. It bruised me all up in here, bruised my neck and bruised my chin and everything like that. And so I rode an ambulance to the hospital. They had me in a cervical collar and on this very, very comfortable backboard. If you believe that one. My appreciation goes to the city of Hillsboro. They responded in a timely manner with fire and rescue vehicles and ambulances. Didn't seem like it took them long at all. They took very good care of me, and I'm very appreciative of it. And while I was in the emergency room, There were some other things going on in the emergency room. I don't know who did. I had heard that someone had overdosed and died while I was there, which is quite a shame. But anyway, my lower legs, my calves, began to, when I use the word spasm or Charlie horse, that doesn't really describe the level of what I went through there. But they both, my calf muscles locked up at the same time. I've had that happen before, and usually I'm laying in bed, my feet are cold, and when you have diabetes, you know, the things just don't work the way they used to. And so usually the remedy is to stand up and walk it out. Well, that remedy was not available to me. I was still on a backboard in a cervical collar, and I was having a pretty monster headache. So both of them spasmed and locked up, And if you've ever had anything like that happen, you know how much pain it is. It is extreme pain. You know, they always tell you, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your pain? And I don't know how to answer that because, you know, what is a 10? I don't know what it is. I now know what a 10 is. I know what level 10 pain feels like. And I lost my voice because for about 6 or 7 minutes, I was screaming to the top of my lungs. I was in agony. I was in extreme pain. And it took, about a quart and a half of morphine. And Roy will like this. It took a fifth of Valium. Or maybe it was Jägermeister they gave me. I don't know. But anyway, it took a great big amount of Valium that they put into my IV. Finally, they died down. And it was hard for me to walk after that. It was hard for me to kind of get back and forth, go to the restroom, things like that in a room. I am, as far as my legs are concerned, I've not had any problems since then. Just some other things going on that I'm not going to say a whole lot right now, but just kind of wait and see, you know, some things going on. But you can imagine someone being jerked violently in a restrained automobile, someone nailing you at 40 miles an hour. So I want to say, first of all, thank you very much to Bethel Church and the people here. For caring about their pastor, for praying for their pastor, for sending me gifts, things like that. Somebody commented that, I thought Pastor Mike quit drinking Starbucks. Well, what I said was, I'm not going to buy Starbucks anymore. And I haven't. But I still like the coffee. And so Wayne and Gary both were constantly bringing me Starbucks coffee. And then somebody got me a $25 Starbucks gift card for Christmas. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm not about to let Starbucks have the whole of that $25. They're going to give me $25 worth of coffee. I'm not going to let them keep the money. So anyway, you know, just kind of cleared that up a little bit. But, you know, the church stepped in. Brady, I cannot say enough about him and his willingness to step in and do what he did Sunday morning. And Lisa and I, she was in the hospital with me Sunday morning. We watched the service online. I am thankful. I'm really glad now that we made a switch over here about a month or so ago to a high-definition type of stream for our church service. I don't know if anybody's noticed it. But more than one person is watching our church stream on, you know, like a flat panel TV or something like that. And we want it to look, as good as possible, for that. As the technology expands, I think we here at Bethel Church, we are committed to try to expand with that and to do what we can. And so I'm watching the church stream on my iPad through the Sermon Audio app, and it looked good. It really did. So I appreciate everybody at Bethel for their help and their prayers and their encouragement, and even for one dear sweet lady yesterday who I found out I was at work yesterday. And she sent me a real nice text message and said, "Go home." And so anyway, I appreciate that. Appreciate everybody's prayers. I appreciate the messages you sent on Facebook, the emails that you sent. One family sent flowers. I appreciate that. It was just a blessing to have all of that. And I'll say this. You know, once a preacher, always a preacher. And I was kind of in the process of being discharged Sunday morning while the church service was going on, and my charge nurse came in, and we just kind of got talking about one thing, and the question came up about me being electrocuted, And I said, stop right here. And I said, I'm supposed to be there at that church preaching, but I'm not there. So guess what? You get to be my church today, and I'm going to preach a sermon. And I just basically told the story of how I was electrocuted in 2006 and how God saved me out of it and how God heard my prayer even when I wasn't able to speak the prayer. God heard my prayer. When I wasn't able to move, God did it for me. When I wasn't able to perform a work, God saved me, literally saved my life. And I preached a little message. So it was just good to be there. But anyway, I've lost my voice. And, so that's kind of why I'm talking sort of raspy and, you know, hoarse and coarse and everything like that. But anyway, just appreciate everybody's prayers and everybody's understanding and, ready to get back in the game. I'm seriously debating though this week about doing a full schedule. Usually, you know, I Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, you know, two Pastor Mike Onlines, a Watchman broadcast, a Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study, and then get ready for Sunday morning again. I'm not sure that I'm going to do all that this week. I came in this morning. I'm pretty tired. And, so anyway, my body's trying to heal, and there's some ongoing things, that go along with that. And so just let you know that I might just take it a little bit more easy, than I usually do. I want to do this for, I want to do this before I forget it, before I do anything else, is to make this humongous big announcement. Why is it not showing anything? Hang on here. What happened to my... I've lost something here. Hang on. Are we still on? Yeah, there we go. Jazz called me the other day. Last night, actually. And we were out... Lisa and I, we have to go find another car now. We have to go find another vehicle that we can use. And so we were kind of out looking around last night, and Jazz called me and she said, are you in front of a computer? And I said, no, I'm in front of a Toyota. And she said, well, when you get home, call me. So she has been developing and actually just kind of starting from scratch our church website, all of them actually. And she's been focusing on one in particular. Now, there's a lot of things that go with this that I don't know. I can't explain it right now because I don't really understand it too well. We are going to have apps, mobile apps for your phone, for your Android tablet or your iPad or your iPhone, your Windows 8. We're going to have apps that go along and correspond with the things we do. The websites have been redesigned with a mobile device in mind for that, and I'm going to try to pull up the website here. Yeah, here it is. It's already pulled up. The website that she has redesigned basically is designed for mobile applications, mobile devices, phones. If I turn it like that. Maybe I turned it the wrong way. I would turn it like that. There we go. Why aren't you working? Anyway, it's supposed to turn, and it's not turning very well. But anyway, it's designed with that in mind. Let me show you the new website. This is propheticresearchministry.com. And tell you what, give me a minute here, and I will write that across the bottom of the screen. And you can go to that. In fact, I think www.propheticresearch, there we go, ministry.com. Let me click this and do this. And there you go, propheticresearchministry.com. If you go to that, if you type that in and go to that, I think, yeah, here we go, live webcast. I have flash disabled on here unless I really want it. Yeah, there we go. I'm hearing myself talk. So anyway, but you can get all of our broadcasts and things like that from this one website. All of the websites that she is redesigning is going to have this same look. It's going to have this same appearance and everything like that. And practically every time we turn on cameras here, they are going to be on any of those websites. A couple things here that I like. There's a link to my blog here, a link to the Watchman community. If you don't know what that is, check that out. It's sort of like a Bethel Church Facebook, and you can join that if you want. All of my Twitter feeds are right here on this. You can download the King James Bible in PDF here. Here's a link to our King James Pure Bible Search software. Here's a link to our live broadcast, news and announcements, things like, you know, Pastor Mike back from the hospital and so on. Let's see what else. I sound like Alex Jones today, don't I? But anyway, let me show you this part. Let's click on one of these videos here, recent titles. Now, she doesn't have the most recent things we've done. It's still in progress, but she wanted to get it out there so people could start looking at it. And so let's click on this. Here, you see a recent title, you click on it. And what you'll see is you'll see this video come up, Understanding Prophecy, the Clouds. And now here's what I like. Right over here, you can download this video. So let's say that you don't have a computer at home or you don't have internet access at home. You can go to the public library or wherever, go to a friend's house, download the video or download the audio and listen to it. You can put it on your mobile device. You can put it on your phone, your iPod, your iPad, any MP3 player or anything like that. Here's something, and we've already had a meeting on this. You click this, and if you're watching this particular video and you want it on DVD, all you got to do is click Order DVD. That's going to add it immediately to a shopping cart. We have a shopping cart on this website. I'm tickled to death to see this. So it's got a link here for quantity. Let's say we want two copies. Okay. So now we are going to get two copies here. The price is zero. The amount is zero. The total is zero. We still do not charge for our videos, even though we have a shopping cart. And so let's say we ordered that, or let's see, we can let's keep shopping here. All right, so we got something in the shopping cart. Let's go back to Understanding Prophecy 3 of 4, the Trumpets. All right, oh, we like that, so we're going to order that one. You click Order DVD. Now you have both of them in your shopping cart. All right. So, we're going to click go to payments, which is just basically, we're going to be done with this, all right? So, you get to here, you notice the price is still zero. Your name, full name, address, city, state or province, postal code, country, telephone, email, things like that. You can click remember my name and address for my future purposes or join our email list, that you will get emails on things that we do, at this ministry. You'll get it sent. I think it's an RSS feed or something like that. That technology is several years old and I don't even have a clue what it is. But anyway, you'll get an email feed of what we're doing here. That's just part of what we're doing. And what happens is that sends an email to us and it has your name, address, the DVDs that you wanted. That shows up in an email. We take care of it right away. I've already told everybody that works here, get ready, because I think we're going to get flooded here with DVD orders, which doesn't bother me a bit. Here we go to resources. Stop right here. See this? Prayer request. Let's click prayer request. You're going to fill out a form. The form, there it is. You're going to fill out a form here. Are you submitting a prayer request or a praise report? Click one. Share your prayer request or praise report publicly on the live broadcast so others may add their prayers or praise. Yes or no. It will show up to us what you've clicked. If it's private, it'll show up as private to us. Share your name publicly, yes or no. Share your first name only if you want to do that. You put your name, phone number, email, or whatever. But what's required is your message. You got to put in your prayer request, and then you put in the little CAPTCHA. That's to keep robots from sending me. I don't want to pray for robots. I care nothing about praying for robots whatsoever. So anyway, and that will get sent to us. That's something as a church we're going to start doing. Here, you can join the Watchers list, a monthly mailing list. You get everything that we do every month on DVD and CD. Your name, address, and so on. Your email address, special comments or requests, enter the security code, and so on. Now, I'm going to go ahead and announce this. It's going to, those of you who are already on the Watchers list, when you get your packet next month, you're going to get a slip of paper asking you to fill out your name, address, and phone number to replace your name on our mailing list. We've already done this already. We got to where we decided we were getting things sent back to us, and some people have just dropped off the face of the earth. So we decided to purge our list. And so we spent 3 or 4 months having people sign back up to be on the mailing list. And so we whittled it down to about 500, and now it's back over 1,200 packets that we send out at the first of the month. So what we're going to do is we're going to purge that list again. And starting on May 1st, we're going to be running from a brand new mailing list. Now, again, all you have to do is either fill out the paper that we send you or go to the website. Yeah, go right here and fill this out. And that gets sent to an email to us. And we put you back on our mailing list or put you on our DVD mailing list. Now, we don't charge for any of this. We don't make you pay money. Some people, when we purged our list, they kind of got their feelings hurt. What, are you needing more money? Because I thought you didn't ask for money. I didn't get anything. Are you wanting money? No. Free of charge to everybody. However, somebody's got to pay the bill. Somebody's got to pay the postage. Somebody's got to pay Gary and Kay and Alicia and Lindsay and Courtney and Rose and Dee and Bonnie and Roy. And it sounds like I'm talking in the magic mirror, doesn't it? We got to pay all these people. We got to pay Super Media Store for the DVDs and the packages and everything like that. And so right here is our donate button. That'll take you to our PayPal account. You may use the PayPal, or we have a way that you can set up a recurring credit card transfer every month. We do that with some people already. We keep your information secure, and we send you a little form to fill out with your authorization, and we do that here. And I just want to say, number one, thank God for how he has blessed our ministry here, because it was God's idea to not charge money, and God has always blessed it. But thank you as well for your heart and your love for what God's doing here. It is making a huge difference. When we send out 10,000 DVDs a month, those DVDs are getting into the hands. People will buy. They'll get multiple copies of DVDs. Sometimes somebody will call and say, hey, Gary, can you hook me up with about 300 of those God, Guns, and Liberty DVDs? I'm going to a gun show. Can you hook me up with that? And then what happens is they drop these DVDs everywhere. And I had a guy tell me, he said, Pastor, he said, I found one of your DVDs on the urinal at a place that I went to, like a restaurant or Walmart or something like that. And he said, I picked it up and took it home. Wow. One guy said that somebody left some DVDs on a table at a laundromat. So he looked at them. He was Roman Catholic. He looked at them, went through, and he found one that he thought was interesting. I don't remember which one it was. He took it home and watched it. He went back to the laundromat to get the rest of them off the table so he could watch them. And he says, I'm not Roman Catholic anymore. I'm born again, saved. That's just the kind of thing that only God can do. And so anyway, but we're making it easy for you to, number one, to get the materials from us, either for yourself or somebody else. But we're also making it easy for you to help us financially. And we do appreciate it. I don't talk about money very often at all, because there's one thing that preachers nowadays have a reputation for, and that is milking money out of people. Oh, God, oh, you can send $1,000. Oh, listen, oh, God, woo, God told me, listen, somebody out there right now, $10,000, and God's told you, you need to seed that somewhere. People are sick of that. I'm sick of it. I don't like it. So anyway, you can order books, order DVDs. There's a frequently asked questions thing that I don't think it's ready yet. Questions for Pastor Mike, a web directory of all the things that we got going, ways to donate and things like that. Let's see what else is going on here. Media. All of our videos is going to be on this page. There's a contact page. There's a map. If you want to come visit Bethel Church, here's a Google map here for you. Contact information, email address, phone number, address, things like that. And she is not done with this or the other websites. Here, right here, see Pastor Mike at the Red River Bible and Prophecy Conference coming up March 28th, 30th. Here's the information right here for you. Join Pastor Mike on Facebook. I will tell you that I've got like over 3,000 friends or whatever on Facebook. Some of them are not really my friends, if you know what I mean. But anyway, and I've heard a rumor that Facebook will only let you have like 5,000. So, you know, if you want to be on the friends list, get on the stick, all right? But anyway, again, just amazing, amazing things that Jazz has done with this. She was a godsend to us. Jazz ended up with a video of mine several years ago, and she watched it. She watched about 40 minutes of it, and then she called me, and she said, I want to help. And I didn't know her from Adam. I didn't trust her. And so anyway, but we started working together, and God has used her story, and her testimony is like everybody else. It kind of sounds like Donna, the software writer. Spent so much time living for yourself and living for the devil and living for the world and everything else. And you can't do it anymore. You just can't do it anymore. And God, you know, God calls you and he says, now, how'd you like to work for me? And that's what we do. We work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are watchers out there. You're watching what's going on. You're helping me watch what's going on, because I'm telling you, 3 days in the hospital, I didn't turn a TV on hardly at all. I didn't read a lot of emails. I didn't go to Drudge Report every day. I just laid in the bed sucking my thumb on morphine. And I'm very tired, still a little bit tired today. And but anyway, trying to catch up. So you guys have been the eyes and ears out there in the world. I would not have known about the Grammy Award ceremony had you guys not been watching. And so I absolutely, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to kind of put it in biblical context of what it was that you saw. It was witchcraft. It was not a play about witchcraft. It was not a parody or satire about witchcraft. Everything that happened at the Grammy Awards was witchcraft. It was a ritual for a purpose. And we're going to look into that. This just came in. Michelle sent me this today. This just came in just before I started talking today, and I printed it out. Disney Channel introduces its first lesbian couple on a kids show. Kids. If you think The sodomites are not out to pedophile your kids. You are insane. If you think that it's okay to have sodomite school teachers, you're insane. There's something you're not right. You live in a fantasy world that believes the lie that these people tell you. Well, I'm a homosexual, but I wouldn't harm a child. Are you kidding me? That's exactly what they have in mind. Go read the Bible. Go read Genesis 18. It was them old goats in Sodom and with those young boys, both young and old, the Bible says. They go after children. That's how most of these sodomites ended up that way. Some older relative, man down the road, a woman down the road, or whatever. That's how it starts out. They're going after kids. Here's the story. Over many years, Holly Weird, and others have found the easy way to take immorality and present it as normal through laughter. The process started many years ago by lisps and flagrant movement and positions of hands, arms, walking, and clothes that were worn to make the process of acceptance on our part a process. There was no need for hand-holding, let alone kissing, to get that process placed. The seeds of immorality placed firmly for adults and children to see. Do you remember Roseanne? Remember that show? First lesbian kiss on Roseanne. I laughed as a child at those shows. They were funny, but that was not the reality of why they were made. Now we see why they were made. It has gotten so accepted almost 95% of the shows on cable involve homosexuality as normal, let alone premarital sex, as a rite of passage. Cartoons of boys that transform into superhero transvestites. Men who use and abuse women for his 15 minutes of pleasure. Drugs and alcohol celebrated on TV series. Families destroyed to the point that humanity devalues what God gave as family, and man substitutes, even labeled modern comically, to devalue what our children see. And now Disney has joined full-blown in showing lesbian couple for one of their children's shows. We've been so dumbed down, those living morally and ethically are mocked as strange and penalized, even men and women in true marriage given by God, stepping stone of division. Here's the latest. Taylor has two moms. Disney Channel introduces first lesbian couple on the kids show. News spread last summer that the Disney Channel was planning to introduce a lesbian couple for the first time on one of its children's TV programs. That's exactly what happened during Sunday's episodes of Good Luck Charlie, when a child with two mothers was prominently highlighted. The scene featured Charlie, the main character, sitting in the living room with her father, Bob, and her mother, Amy, discussing a play date that was set up with Charlie's friend, Taylor. When Amy told Bob that Taylor's parents would also be joining them while the girls played, the two began debating Taylor's mother's name. Both said they had individually met the woman, but while Amy said her name was Susan, Bob remembered meeting a parent named Cheryl. Since they weren't together at the time of the interactions, the two remained at odds. When the doorbell rang and Taylor arrived with her mother's, Charlie's parents realized they were both right. Susan and Bob were indeed speaking to two separate women. Taylor has two moms, Bob said after answering the door. Nothing gets past you, Bob, Amy said. The same-sex scene had long been anticipated. A representative for Disney detailed last summer how the network carefully approached the subject.
This particular storyline was developed under the consultancy of child development experts and community advisors, the Disney representative said. Like all Disney Channel programming, it was developed to be relevant to kids and families around the world to reflect themes of diversity and inclusiveness.
Unquote. Yeah. Michelle did not send me this. Wayne did. Wayne, my secret under-the-counter Starbucks dealer, sent me that one. I heard this morning. I heard him talking about it. Obama is not going to stop what he's doing. And if we elected in 2014 all conservatives to the House of Representatives and all conservatives to the Senate, if both the House and the Senate had a supermajority of conservative Americans. Obama will still, he's bent on doing what he wants to do. Obama's warmed up to executive action. We'll use it for climate change and energy transformation agenda. President Obama is warmed up to using executive authority, and when he believes he has the authority to make progress without action by Congress, he will do it. White House advisor John Podesta told NPR Tuesday at National Public Radio, most liberal radio network in the world is NPR. But he doesn't like to do this, does he? The NPR asked Podesta. I think he's warmed up to it. Are you kidding me? He realized the moment he was inaugurated in 2008, he left the podium, went right to a table, picked up a pen, and started signing executive orders, one of which was to close down Guantanamo Bay. Don't act like he did. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to have to. Somebody stop me. Lion bunch. There's a lot that he has authority to do that's vested in him under the laws of the United States and his constitutional powers. And I think that he's looking forward to a year of action. And I think he's looking forward to tonight when he gives the State of the Union speech as a breakthrough year when he can lay out some of these practical, concrete ideas that will get people on board to stable economic footing and see their wages going up for the first time in a long time. Here's another one. Here's another lie. Man's been in office 6 years. The man's been in office. And the economy has declined. Jobs have declined. The morality of our nation has declined. Everything is a mess. And he's going to blame it on Congress not doing enough. Why? If I could just sign pieces of paper into it, why I could do that? That's like the guy who gets a checkbook. And he has no money in it whatsoever. But as long as he's got checks, well, I can just sign these checks and I can get everything I want. That's the way he thinks. So get ready. Get ready. He's going to start being the king of America. That's what his goal is. He wants to be the king of America. The reason why. So, you know, all of that training that he had at whatever university that was, all of that training. And I can understand someone who was born in a foreign country not really understanding the laws and the Constitution of the United States. So maybe Obama just doesn't understand our Constitution. Because he was born in a different country. Maybe he just doesn't get it. But somebody should tell him, hey, Obama, we have laws here. Actually, you only have a little piece of power. There's lots of other people that have little pieces of power. And if you don't like what they do, you have a recourse, but if they don't like that you don't like what they did, they have a recourse. And if the Supreme Court doesn't like what anybody's doing, they have a recourse. But then if the people don't like what the Supreme Court did, we have recourse. That's the way it's supposed to work. We left Great Britain because we didn't want a king. No king save King Jesus. That was the slogan, 1776. You should go back and read that. Now, here is something interesting. Think of CERN. We're going to talk a little bit more about CERN today, so think of that. Forget global warming. This is from the Mail, dailymail.co.uk. Forget global warming. Worry about the magnetosphere. Earth's magnetic field is collapsing, and it could affect the climate and wipe out power grids. Deep within the Earth, a fierce molten core. By the way, you know what the core of the Earth is made out of? Iron. Iron is magnetic. That's why the Earth is magnetic. Iron. Do you know what is at the core of stars? Iron. That's why when a star, as the heat and the nuclear furnace inside of every star is so hot, it's actually creating and generating more iron. And as that star ages, the iron becomes so dense and it becomes so heavy. Listen, you're going to like this. It becomes so heavy that the star collapses in on itself. It literally falls in on itself. Think about that. Here's iron up here and iron down here. Just kind of ponder that for a while. I'm telling you, that Bible, that King James Bible is right. But anyway, deep within the earth, a fierce molten core is generating a magnetic field capable of defending our planet against devastating solar winds. The protective field extends thousands of miles into space, and its magnetism affects everything from global communication to animal migration and weather patterns. But this magnetic field, so important to life on Earth, has weakened by 15% over the last 200 years. And this, scientists claim, could be a sign that the Earth's poles are about to flip. Think about that. Think about this turning into this and this turning into this. It's like the Earth is about to be transgendered. Okay? Experts believe that we're currently overdue a flip, but they're unsure when this could occur. If a switch happens, we would be exposed to solar winds capable of punching holes into the ozone layer. The impact could be devastating for mankind, knocking out power grids, radically changing Earth's climate, and driving up rates of cancer. This is serious business, Richard Holm, professor of Earth, Ocean, and Ecological Sciences at Liverpool University, told the Mail Online. Imagine for a moment your electrical power supply was knocked out for a few months. Very little works without electricity these days. The Earth's climate would change drastically. In fact, a recent Danish study believes global warming is directly related to the magnetic field rather than CO2 emissions. Duh! Now let me show you. Let me show you something. Let me pull up a verse that is very, very interesting to me. Let me put this on screen for you. This is our Pure Bible Search software. Let's just sweep it with the besom of destruction. Let's just type in the word real. R-E-E-L. Okay? Let's look at Psalm 107, verse 27. Let's go back up a little bit. Let's walk circumspectly around this. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. What is in the core of the earth? Think about it. Then they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. So think about reeling to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and at their wit's end. By the way, there's lots of churches that look at that verse and go, "Woo, hallelujah, praise God. We're reeling to and fro like a drunkard, and we're at our wit's end. Woo, that must be the Holy Ghost." Nah, it's not. The Holy Ghost doesn't make you drunk, you liars. The Holy Ghost makes you sober. The Holy Ghost does not make you reel to and fro like a drunkard. The Holy Ghost makes you stand when everybody else is reeling to and fro and staggering. Now watch this. Isaiah 24:20. Watch this. Let's go to the context here. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. Did you see that? Somebody's coming up out of the pit. I wonder who that could be. Antichrist, beast. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Remember, what did I just say about iron and stars? They become so heavy with iron that they collapse in on themselves. The magnetic field is so strong that it falls in on itself. So look at that verse again. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in a pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be visited. And the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign. That right there is Acts chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, you'll see it in Revelation chapter 6, you'll see it in Matthew 24. You'll see that event taking place. And the idea of the earth, now the earth is on a 23-degree, think about that, it's on a 23-degree tilt. And what the Bible's telling you is that there's going to come a day when the earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. Something wrong with the magnetic forces that are in the earth. Can you imagine the earth doing this? That's going to cause such widespread devastation. It's going to be unbelievable what's going to happen on that day. As my mom used to say, folks, you better be paid up and prayed up. Interesting story. What else we got going here? Oh, somebody sent me. I thought it was interesting. Stephen Furtick, the obnoxious, foul-mouthed coffee shop, emergent, rock and roll, everything's cool pastor. Somebody sent me an email. Let's see, who was it? Timothy. How you doing, Tim? Pastor Mike, I know you're in the hospital right now, and I pray that you have a speedy recovery so that you can get back in the fight. Stephen, you're one of the, or Timothy, you're one of the guys I was talking about. While I was away, you guys were watching, and I appreciate it. That's what we do for one another. We watch each other. You guys were watching over me, praying for my protection. There's something to be said about God's protection over his people. That all the things that have happened to me since Thursday, it could have been much worse. They were looking at the idea of me having a bruised heart over this. If you remember, who was it? Dale Earnhardt, who was in his race car, had a collision with the wall, and it killed him instantly. He had a helmet. He had all the safety equipment on, but the force was so hard that it literally ripped his aorta from his heart. That's one of the things they were looking for in the CT was they did a contrast and they were looking for me bleeding anywhere internally. But there was talk of the possibility of having a bruised heart, but God was watching over. But anyway, he said, I thought you would be interested in these photos. They were taken at one of the satellite churches of Elevation Church in Concord, North Carolina, just tonight. Elevation. I want you to think about that. Think about Here is you. Here's mankind. Mankind needs to go up and elevate himself. Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. We're going to elevate ourselves upward. We're going to lift ourselves up. Now, and I'm going to show you one of the things. He said these were taken at one of the satellite churches. They're selling stuff in the lobby, just like money changers. And I've been in one of these churches. I went to a funeral. And before you can ever get to the sanctuary, you've got to go through the coffee shop and the bookstore. You've got to walk through all of that stuff just to get inside. That's just like anything else in the world where they're going to offer you a free ride. You got to walk through the store first. You got to walk through there to get all their stuff. So he says, they're selling stuff in this lobby just like the money changers. They see a lot of symbols in this stuff, such as above, so below. Stephen Furtick, who's building a $10 million home in Charlotte, also had security personnel hired so that the people in attendance would not rush down to try to touch him. I have a couple of other photos that I'm going to send also, but they would not fit on a single email. Get well soon. My family and I will miss you in church tomorrow. And Timothy, send them. Here is this one. This was the banner in the church. Next level. I want you to look at the X. If you're not familiar with that symbol, get in your car, drive to the next town over, and go to the Masonic Lodge and look for that symbol. Next level. Yin and yang. Square and compass. As above, so below. Sons of God, daughters of men. Let's see what else he had here. Yeah, the Elevation Church. Child of the King. What king? What king? Think about it. There's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and then there is the King of the Bottomless Pit. What king? Here's something I thought was interesting. The Elevation Church, they've got a worship CD. Notice the laurels. Remember what that's from? That's the crown of the Antichrist, people, is what it is. Now, where is my story on the Emmys? Here it is, for the Grammys. Let's talk about this for a minute. Let me pull up my PowerPoint deal here. Here we go. And let's talk about this. Rock and roll. In fact, take your King James. Get out your can of King James Bible here. Let's look at a couple places in the scriptures, sort of get our bearings and understand, get some understanding of how our enemy works, who he is, what he does, how we could be able to spot him, and how when something happens, we don't go, really? I didn't know that. All of these things, when somebody said, Pastor Mike, they perform occult rituals at the Grammys, I'm going, duh. What music are they playing? Rock and roll music. Rock and roll is the devil's music. That sounds ancient and archaic. Sounds like I come out of the 50s. But I'm telling you, there were preachers warning this country and their churches in the 1950s to not let rock and roll have a stronghold in their teenagers' lives, or it would ruin their home, it would ruin the family, it would eventually ruin the country. And they were right. Every one of them was right. And now you don't hear it anymore. I talked to, if you don't know, Dave Benoit. Dave Benoit used to go around, I think he's doing something else, ministry related or whatever. But Dave Benoit went around doing seminars all over the country on the occult, on witchcraft, on, kids' games and toys that they play with. And he did, for several years, he did seminars on rock music. I went to a couple of conferences at Southwest Radio Church with him, got to know him pretty well. I invited him to come out and speak at our church, and he did a presentation on the occult and how it affects our children and things like that. It was a good presentation. I had an older couple really ticked off with me and left my church over him being there. I can't believe he would bring that guy in here like this. And I'm going, what is wrong with you? But anyway, I asked David. I said, Dave, I said, do you still do a lot of seminars on rock music? He said, no. I said, well, how come? He said, number one, rock and roll music has gotten so vulgar and so vile and so disgusting and so X-rated, pornographic. He said, I can't really even, like, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, I could show you the lyrics and you would see the innuendos. But he said, now I can't do that anymore because the lyrics are F this, S this, GD this, and all. He said, I can't do that anymore. He said, number two, there are very few churches even interested in talking about rock and roll music in a negative way because they're playing it in their churches. They don't want to hear it anymore. Let's get some wisdom from the Bible that practically nobody wants to listen to anymore. Ezekiel 28, Son of Man, verse 12, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Again, what king are these people a child of? What king are they a child of? They say, I'm a child of the king. Which king? And they say, well, Jesus, of course. I would say, which Jesus? Which one? Very important. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. I'm going to throw something at you just for something for you to think about. It says, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. I have a theory. I'm going to share my theory with you. I think that the bottom part of verse 12, Ezekiel 28, 12, is talking about the Fibonacci sequence. That's a theory I have. Fibonacci sequence. No, it's not Feminazi. My good friend Al Gross used to be in radio here. Wanted me to come on the air and talk about the Feminazis. No, it's not the Feminazis. It's the Fibonacci. Fibonacci sequence is 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. Let's see, 13. Let's see, anyway, 21, 30, let's see, 34, 55, and so on. That's the Fibonacci sequence. Now, in a Fibonacci spiral, the sequence always ends at 13. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. It always ends. If you look at a ram's horn or a spiral galaxy or the waves in the ocean or flush your toilet and look at the swirl there or give your kid brother a swirly. If you don't know what that is, I'm not going to tell you. I wouldn't ruin your children that way. But anyway, look at the swirl in there, and you see the sequence, and it always stops at 13. It was my daughter, Alicia. I was explaining that to her, and her mind does what mine does. She's kind of like me in this respect. Her eyes were just going, that's 33. I went, what? She said, yeah, it's 33. I said, what is? She said, 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 5 plus 8 plus 13 is 33. And I went, and I didn't believe her, so I had to get a calculator out and calculate it up. And I went, you're right. It is. 33 is a number related to wisdom. It sealest up the sum, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. The Fibonacci ratio or the golden ratio, you can see it in all of creation. It's in the number of flowers. Everything in nature has a design with that golden ratio in it somehow, some way, and it makes the world beautiful. It's very, very... Let me show you this. It's my insurance card, okay? This card is like this one. The Fibonacci sequence. You ever use note cards? They are 3x5 note cards. Why? If they were any taller or any wider, they wouldn't look right to us. So we use 3x5 note cards. Credit cards, things like that, are I don't think these are 3x4. Well, they might be. But anyway, they are very, very, very close to the Fibonacci sequence. That ratio is a form of beauty in the universe, and everything that has been created bears that signature on it. So maybe that's why the devil is referred to as the god of this world, because there's something about him that bears that same sequence. Now, follow me on this. When you look at a piano, it has black keys and white keys. If you know what an octave is, if you play one note and go up 8 notes, you're going to be playing the same note, only higher. It's called an octave, which means 8. The number of black keys on a piano, there is 5. They're divided in a group of 3 and a group of 2. Those are both Fibonacci numbers. The number of keys in an octave is 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. A, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. There's 8 notes there. If I were to go C, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, you're wanting me to finish it, aren't you? C. It's not complete until you throw that last note in there. That's 8 keys. So if you take the 8 keys, the 8 white keys, and the 5 black keys, what do you get? 13. Think about that. And think about, listen to this. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. 10. Think about that. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. So, here is what the Bible's telling us about our enemy. He was made as a musical instrument. The workmanship of thy tabrets. Tabrets is like a tambourine. It is a percussive instrument. By the way, there is nothing wrong with using a percussion instrument. Go read the book of Psalms. Look at tabrets. Look at it in the Psalms. Praise him upon the cymbal and the tabrets. Those are joyful sounding percussive instruments that are used to keep the tempo. They have a purpose. If I'm giving you a little music lesson here, we can all, everybody can hear music to some degree. Music has parts to it. It has a melody. It has harmony. It has rhythm. It has tone color. We say, well, that's a bright, cheery song. Or we say, well, that's a really dark song. That's because we recognize that music has a color to the tone. It's either a bright tone, bright song, or it's a low-down song. Okay? I am sad, so very sad. Okay, so you get the idea. Melody is the number one thing. Paul told us to sing and make what? Melody in our hearts to the Lord. I think melody should be the predominant part of the song. That the melody should be in authority over the rest of the parts of the music. Harmony simply accentuates and helps the melody, but I think the melody is in charge and should be in charge. If the harmony, if there's all harmony and no melody, then you have a chant. You have some of these like Gregorian things. Rhythm. Rhythm is an essential part of a song. We are rhythmic in everything that we do. I don't agree with the idea. If it moves the foot before it moves the heart, it's not right. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. That was given. I mean, I grew up around fundamental churches. We were told that if a song has any kind of fast rhythm to it, it's ungodly, it's pleasing the flesh, and it's not honoring God. That is not scriptural. Rhythm has a place in the song. The Bible says so. But the rhythm should support the melody, not the other way around. The rhythm shouldn't be. So that's why I don't like rap. I don't like rap. It is mostly rhythm with very little, if any, melody. Just my own thing. That's just, you know, you examine scripture, you look at what the Bible says and so on. But here's Lucifer now, and he is created with tabrets and pipes in him. It was the workmanship of God created in him from the moment he was created. The devil, Lucifer, as the anointed cherub, and we know that cherubs, we know that angels sing. Angels know music, and God gave them music. God gave them musical ability. God gave me a musical ability. I saw it a long time ago. Since God gave it to me, Mike, use it for him. Don't use it for anybody else. Use it for him. I'm trying to encourage my son in that. You always pray for anybody who grows up in a Christian family who is good at music, because the world will go, come work for us. We'll make you rich, and we'll give you a lot of women, and you can have this, and you have people looking at you and all this and that. Try to encourage young people to do it for the Lord in their church. Anyway, the devil knows music. So when you watch the Grammy Awards and you hear the music, it is his music. Period. It's his music. So let's look at some sola scripturas, all right? Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Is it possible for a good church-going young man or a young lady to have the gospel ripped right out from underneath them by listening to certain types of music? Absolutely, it is. The music of this world is deadly dangerous. You parents out there, you moms and dads who have decided that you don't feel like fighting with your teenager about their music, fight. Fight for them. Fight with them if you have to. Raise your hand out there if music had an effect on you in your youth. And to this day, you know that there's music styles and things that even though your flesh wants to go back to, you know you can't do that. Raise your hand. I mean, I grew up in a conservative fundamental church right here at Bethel Church. I listened to some Southern gospel, and I listened to hymn music, and I listened to classical music. I mean, that's just what I listened to. But there are some songs out there that I really, really liked. I was a big Elvis fan after he died. I listened to Elvis almost nonstop. A couple other music. When I was riding to work every day with my brother-in-law, we'd worked in construction, drywall. When we did that together, he had a Lynyrd Skynyrd tape that he played in his van all day long. And I know, give me three steps, mister. I know it. I get it. Okay. I know what it's about. He got caught, didn't he? Okay. I know those songs and I liked them. Southern rock. I tell you what, it's a draw for me. It really is. Can't have anything to do with it anymore. Can't go there anymore. Can't listen to it anymore. You know why? I like it. So if you've decided to just give in to your teenager, if you've decided to give in to your adolescent, and you know for a fact that they're listening to Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Kanye, Rihanna, some of these others, you know for a fact they're listening to that stuff, and you're not doing anything about it, you're committing parental suicide is what you're doing. You are going to destroy by your lack of diligence and your lack of leadership in their life, you're going to destroy those children's lives. You set them down in front of our broadcast, or you take them to a church somewhere, and they hear about some little gospel thing. They hear it one time a week. And as soon as they get in the car, as soon as they get home, here comes the music on, and it's nonstop. And if you ever tried to take it away, I promise you, you will see the spirits that go along with that music. If you ever tried to take it away, I guarantee you the spirits would come flying out. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And it's happening all over the place. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." That's the agenda. That's what they're wanting to do. Show himself that he is God. And they are using music to do it. So, first things first. This is all, now this is not coincidental. It's not just a coincidence that one guy heading up the Grammy ceremony said, "You know what? Let's do a bunch of marriages." And then somebody else choreographed this dance with Katy Perry. They are all part and parcel of the same thing. Now, according to Queen Latifah? According to what she said during the broadcast, they married 33 couples at that ceremony. They married 33 of them. That number, I mean, you should get it. You should get the number. You should understand what it is. It is masonry. It seemed like I had a graphic here for that. Yeah, here it is. That number, it's in masonry, it's in the occult, it's everywhere. What does it signify? What does it represent? Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, "And there appeared another great wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." What is 33? It is a third. That number 33 is a representation of the third of the angelic realm that falls from heaven. It's the number for the king of the bottomless pit, Apollyon and Abaddon. It's the exact number of times the phrase "the beast." In fact, here, let me show you this, okay? Let me show you this. Let's pull up our can of King James here. Let's sweep this with the besom of destruction. Let's type in "the beast," okay? Now, it shows up 54 times. However, let's take out the Old Testament. Now we have exactly 33 times the phrase "the beast." And the first, and 32 of them are in the book of Revelation, and they all refer to the Antichrist. This one right here in Acts 28:5, "And he shook the beast, and he shook off the beast into the fire." You know what that was? It was a viper that came up out of the flames, and it grabbed a hold of Paul's hand. That's where the gospel is. It's where the book is. And Paul shook the beast into the fire. Don't you love that? I love the King James Bible. I still love it. Devil may have tried to kill me this week. I still love the King James. But that's what that number represents. And I want you to understand this concept. Here you have, and it wasn't just, let me pull this out here. It wasn't just sodomites getting married. But that was part of it. It was sodomites. It was, white and black. It was this person and that person. And it was all about how they love each other. It's all about how this and that and the other. So they're having a ritual. You need to understand, this was a ritual. It was a ritual called the Hieros Gamos, sacred union. The Roman Catholic Church does it. Let me show you a picture of it. Let me show you what Hieros Gamos looks like. The Roman Catholic Church does it. One of the sacraments, seven sacraments. Think of seven heads of the beast. One of the seven sacraments is that of a holy wedding. And if you're a Catholic, you're not married until you're married by the Catholic Church and have a ritual performed over you. Mormonism, same thing. Mormonism teaches you cannot be a god until you have this sacred, secret sex ritual done by the Mormon Church. And they wear the holy underwear, which is, it's actually mentioned in the book of Hezekiah, chapter 24. There is no Hezekiah 24. These Mormons wear this holy underwear covering their loins and their private parts that makes them holy, with a square and a compass on the breasts. Yin and yang, sons of God, daughters of men. Remember from the Watchman broadcast, I was teaching about the circles. And you have the circle of heaven and the circle of earth, and they come together. That's what that is. That's what Hieros Gamos is. The sacred union of the two circles, of the two kingdoms, of the two things being joined together. And then you got something rising up out of that as a result of that. And listen, all of this is about getting the beast out of that prison, getting him out of there. That's what all of this is. Do you remember September 11th, 2001, where you had the Pentagram building and a jet protruding into that Pentagram building? And in witchcraft, the high priestess will lay herself down on an altar and turn her body into a pentagram. And then the male priest will Hieros Gamos her. And that's going to release the gods. It's going to release the power. It's all, and that's what happened on September 11th, 2001. This massive satanic ritual taking place, Hieros Gamos, in order to release Satan, in order to release the beast, unleash the beast, because he's bound up in there. And think of Revelation 9. Need to put the key in the lock so we can open the door and let him out. That's what that's all about. And that's why there, I don't know, some said there was 34 there. Queen Latifah specifically said there was 33 couples going to get married that day. Several of them sodomites. It was to be, number one, it was an evil communication meant to corrupt good manners. That's what it was meant to do. It was meant to destroy the bonds of biblical marriage. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's break, watch this now, let's break their bands. Let's defy biblical marriage. Let's break the bands off of us so that, and kind of get this now, they're bound by the bounds and the bands and the cords. These devils are bound. They can't do what they want to do because there's something that is binding them and holding them and keeping them. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, is what Jesus said. And I absolutely believe the restraint and the binding power of God's people. No, I don't believe it. I bind that in Jesus' name. I bind that in Jesus' name. Some would say that while I was in the car Thursday night, I should have bound that in Jesus' name. And then I guess what? It wouldn't have happened. I bind that in Jesus. I bind you in Jesus. They're binding everything. It doesn't work that way. But there is our presence here on this earth means that the devil cannot do what he wants to do. He's being bound right now. They want to break those bonds. They want to cast away the cords. Why? I got a verse here. Go to, you know what, let me look it up here. Let's bring up the software, sweep this with the besom of destruction. By the way, that's part of the ritual the other day. Look at chains. Working on the chain gang. Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in what? Everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Those angels, Revelation chapter 9, that king, they are in bondage right now. They are in chains. The goal is to break those chains and let them go. And that's why you see what you see on there. So while they're, watch this now. While they're singing, or while they're doing this ceremony, I have never heard of these people, but apparently probably your kids have. And more than likely, your kids already know the lyrics to this song that I had to look up. They were singing this song called Same Love. And just so that you understand that what I'm telling you is right, the goal here with this sodomite marriage and all this stuff, this Hieros Gamos and the 33, is an attempt to corrupt the good manners of biblical marriage and thinking right and the Bible. The Bible is the Bible in us and being part of our lives. It's what binds the devil that he cannot have power over us. Let's break those bands. Let's cast those cords from us. That was sung during the wedding. Here's the lyrics. This is the lyrics to the song they were singing, Same Love. Right-wing conservatives think it's a decision and you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition. Playing God. Ah, nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. And God loves all his children is somehow forgotten. But we paraphrase, here it is. But we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago. I don't know. By the way, you know what book was written 3,500 years ago? Let's go back. 2,000 years ago was Christ. 1,000 years before that was the era of King David. And you go all the way back, I think you can go all the way back to Moses and the Ten Commandments. We paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago. It's all about breaking those bands and casting those cords asunder. So they do rituals to do that. If you know anything about witchcraft, which I'm not saying you have to, but you understand that there are certain rituals and certain spells that are cast so that if someone, if another witch or someone is holding you under their spell, you can cast a spell to break their spell. And this is what these people, that's their religion, that's what they believe. Paul said in Ephesians 4, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Shouldn't listen to that music. Shouldn't go along with that, should you? Shouldn't let your kids listen to it either. But you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. They can't get enough. They cannot get enough. That's Mick Jagger saying, "I can't get no satisfaction." He is lascivious and unclean with all greediness. They're not going to stop. They want more. They want more. They want more. And they're not going to stop, people. They're not going to go away. "Well, if we got all the right people in Congress, I'd fix this country." Are you kidding me? We're not dealing with flesh and blood. We're wrestling principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Jude said, "There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness." Now, I want to connect this for you. Watch this, okay? The grace of God is that Christ died for the church, which is his bride. Ephesians chapter 5, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife." And Paul said that, "I speak this concerning Christ and his church." And it's by grace that we get to be a part of that. So here's what they did. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 6. In the same context, remember, we walk circumspectly. So, number one, ungodly men crept in unawares, and they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. That's Stephen Furtick. That is Ed Young Jr. That's Rick Warren. That is Bill Hybels. That is every foul, wicked, probably pornography addicted preacher in this country and everywhere else that's doing romance seminars for weeks and advertise, put billboards everywhere that are nothing but sleazy churches putting billboards, nasty billboards all over town to get you to draw, to get you to go to their church. That's how you recognize a harlot. Harlots never want to sit down with you over a cup of coffee and discuss nuclear physics. They don't want to know your political ideas. They don't want to know how best to invest money. Whores and harlots talk sleazy to you to get you, "Oh, really?" And these churches that put this stuff on, Babylon the Great is what they are. These churches are the daughter harlots of the mother harlot. It's who they are. "The angels which kept not their first estate," but this is Jude 6, "but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah." See it? The angels leaving their habitation, cohabitating with human women, Genesis 6, sons of God. Let me put it back up here. Sons of God, daughters of men. Well, I guess maybe in this case it's sons of God, sons of men, or something like that. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Wait till you see the Katy Perry part. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion. That means they hate the King James Bible because it's authority, it's final authority. And they speak evil of dignities. You know who that is? That is anybody who has the dignity to live right. And if you go back to the lyrics of that song, the right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. You can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition. Playing God. Oh, no, I could be a rap star. You know, I think I got it. I think I could do it. Oh, no, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. Nah, never mind. I'll just keep preaching. Okay? Now watch this. Revelation 12. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. Tail, I already read that. It's about the 33. That's why they married 33. Now watch this. This came to me today. This Bible, this King James Bible is so right. Because the Hieros Gamos is this people marrying this people. And you stop and think about it. Two men getting married. Let me see if I can give an example here. Here we go. This is like the example I made in the Watchmen video last week. Okay? Here is a cord with two male ends. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work in electronics. Doesn't work in plumbing. Doesn't work in carpentry. Because carpenters use nails. And there's two different parts to the nail. And you got to get it right. Doesn't work in medicine. It doesn't work universally. It does not work. Okay? Just doesn't work. On a magnet, it's the opposites that attract. The two north poles of a magnet repel each other. And God designed us to be repulsed. I guarantee you, if another man came up to me, put his arms around me, and gave me a wet kiss, I don't know what I would do. I know for a fact I would not like it. That's because God designed nature to be a certain way. And the world's way, where they want to break the bonds so they can do whatever they want to, they can work that which is unseemly, won't work. So look at this verse here. Daniel 2:43, we've talked about this before, but I just saw something new today. See, that's the miracle, the King James Bible. I've read this verse, I don't know, hundreds of times in Watchmen video broadcast. This never occurred to me until today. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not, what? Cleave one to another. Cleave. The King James Bible. The common unity of the language structure of the King James. It does not exist in any other Bible. And you compare that with Genesis 2:23. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. You see, when God designs it, male and female, they cleave to one another and it works. When the devil tries to get the sons of God and the daughters of men to cleave to one another. It doesn't work. They can't cleave to one another. That's the devil's version of Hieros Gamos. Now, here's Katy Perry in the light bulb. I guess that's what she's in. I know it looks like it looked at first like a glowing crystal ball. And it may be. But I want you to notice where she is. What is the geometric shape of the housing that Katy Perry is in right now? Oh, look. It's a circle. So here's Katy Perry inside of a cloudy circle. I want you to think about that. I want you to remember that right now, Katy Perry is inside a cloudy circle. If you've seen this, you know where she ends up, don't you? Watch this. Behind her are four beasts, and they have horns on their heads. 1, 2, 3, 4. What does that mean? We've talked about this. Remember the horned god. I skipped ahead here. Hang on here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Let me show you the picture. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. See the landscaping here? It's darkness. It's night. It's the mist. God said he reserved them in the mist of darkness. See it? So we know who that is. They're in the mist of darkness, these four creatures, and they have horns on their head. They're beasts. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, all present for the meeting. All present, earth, air, fire, water, north, south, east, west, the four cardinals, the four elements, all present, because when you do witchcraft, you have to have the four elements acting as guardians of the circle that you're in. The four cardinal points, the four, the autumnal equinox, the winter solstice, the vernal equinox, the summer solstice, the four, they all have to act as guardians and overseers and watchers over the magic, over the witchcraft. I'm telling you, this was witchcraft done in front of millions of people all over the world. And remember, we were dealing with the horned god, CERN, Cerunos, the god who has horns on his head, that is, he's going to mate now. He's half human and half beast, and he's got horns, and that's who those guys represent, Revelation 13. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. Upon his horns, 10 crowns. Upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. This is what this is all about. It's about transferring the authority to the beast. Now watch this. Katy Perry comes out of the circle with the clouds and the light in it. And down here, there are eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. She is the ninth. But then you have the four beasts with them. So there are 13 on the stage. That is a witchcraft number. Where does it come from? Your King James Bible. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. 13 words. 13 in the ritual. Think of Jericho. How many times did the armies of God compass, circle, Jericho? 7 times, right? Wrong! It's 13. 1 time a day for 6 days, 7 times on the 7th day. Do the math. It's real easy. And what happened when Jericho was circled 13 times? It fell. What's going to happen to Babylon? Babylon is fallen. So, and Babylon is the mistress of whoredoms, but she is also the mistress of witchcrafts, the mistress of sorcery. So that's, I mean, everything they do, this is why I am so against witchcraft in churches. Witchcraft in churches is always based upon you must do. Now, everybody, let's do this. God showed me that if we did this and did this, one person told me that they were in a church and the Jezebel prophetess of the church gathered everybody together because God gave her a vision the night before that when they pray, they need to pray to the north and then they need to pray facing the west and then the south and the east. And I'm going, witchcraft! She's a witch! She's practicing witchcraft. She's practicing rituals. She's doing things that God never said you had to do. Never said it. Oh, but if we do this, then God will pour out his things on us. That's witchcraft. That's what it is. Ask yourself the question. If you're one of these people that thinks you have to do everything right in order for God to answer your prayers or to bless you. If you're one of these people who thinks either in the past, the present, or in the future, because some of you out there think there's two gospels out there, and one gospel is, well, if they do enough, then God will give them, God will bless them, God will give them salvation. If they do enough, they have to keep doing. I want you to ask yourself the question. What was the spiritual condition of Jacob when he received the inheritance? He was lying through his teeth. Let me ask you another question. What was the spiritual condition of Sarah when Jesus himself told her that this time next year she was going to be holding a baby and told her, he said, you know, you laughed about it. Nay, my Lord, I didn't laugh. She lied. She was lying through her teeth. What was the spiritual condition of Samson when the Philistines came after him? They encompassed him in the city. And they locked the iron gates on him so he couldn't get out. I'm going to show you that story. I'm going to show you the spiritual condition that he was in when God blessed him and he prevailed against his enemies. I'm telling you, if you don't know anything about grace, you should really read the Bible. Pastor, are you saying that God wants us to go out and do all that? No, are you kidding me? Try it. Just tell you what you do. You try it. You go out and just do whatever you want to do and see what God does to you. Knock yourself out. I've been there, done that. I'm telling you, I wouldn't do it if I were you. If I were you and I were smart, I wouldn't do that. But the witchcraft, when witchcraft shows up in the church, it always looks like, I believe that if we can get enough people praying, then God will really do this thing. Show me that in the Bible. Show me the formula that says if we can get so many people praying, or we can get a lot of people praying, then God will actually do more than if only one or two people are doing it. And I've heard pastors chastise their congregations because not enough of them were praying. If enough of you were praying, we would have revival here. If enough of you were praying, we would have more people in the pews. And of course, I would have more money. I've heard them do that. Show it to me in the Bible. Show me the scripture that says if we can get an abundance of people praying, or more people praying, or there's a number that we could have. Ted Haggard, you remember him? Or is it Larry Haggard? One of the two. The Haggard guy. Not the Hoggard guy, the Haggard guy. Ran that big mega church in Colorado while he was hooked on methamphetamine and male prostitutes. And God gave him a vision. Right after September 11th, before we went to war in Iraq, he said, God, God gave me a dream. And the dream, God told me that if we could get 1 million people praying by such and such date, then there would be no loss of American life in this Iraq war, that we wouldn't even have to fight it. God showed me that. 1 million people. If we get 1 million. Now, if we don't get 1 million people, countless people are going to die. So let's get everybody we can. Now, God showed him that while he was on methamphetamine and hooking with male prostitutes. Witchcraft. You know who God listens to when you pray? You, when you're sitting there bawling your eyes out. That's how, you know how many people it takes to pray for you? You. That's how many people it takes. That's just you laid out before God, bawling your eyes out, saying, God, I can't help myself. I can't do. God, help me. God, please help me. That's it. He'll help you. He's going to teach you how to wrestle, isn't he? He's going to teach you how to fight. He's going to teach you how to prevail. Because I'll tell you, if it's important enough to you, you'll pray and not stop until God blesses you. You'll wrestle with the Lord and not stop until God blesses you. That's what Jacob, that's why he's named Israel. That's why we are grafted in as Israel. Because we decided more than anything, we didn't want to die and go to hell. And we just, God, please, God, save me, God, save me, God, save me. Don't give up, people. But don't be witches either. Anyway, that's what witchcraft looks like. Let me show you another. Here's this other 13. You can go to Deuteronomy 13. You can go to Revelation 13. You'll see the false prophet. You can go to, Revelation 13, Deuteronomy 13, Acts chapter 13. It's all right there. You have Jesus walking around, Judas. Judas was always mentioned last in the list of the disciples. Peter was always mentioned first. Judas was always mentioned last. He was number 13, wasn't he? So look at this verse in Acts chapter 13. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now watch this now. This man wants to hear the word of God. He calls for Paul and Barnabas. He wants to be saved. He wants to hear some good preaching. Here's a man who has a desire to hear the word of God. But Elymas, or Bar-Jesus, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. You stop and think about the attacks that have been given to me, have been given to you, have been given to everybody in the world who tries to stand for the gospel. You'll be in car wrecks, train wrecks, plane wrecks. You'll be in everything in the world. I mean, the devil will punish you and beat on you mercilessly just for you standing for the gospel. He will withstand you and try to torture you and try to scare you. Why? Because you just believe the Bible. You don't have to be Mike Hoggard. You don't have to be Reg Kelly. You don't have to be one of these. You don't have to be a preacher. All you have to do is be saved. And you stand for the Bible, and he will absolutely try to destroy you. He hates that book. And so here's a man who wants to be saved. There's still people out there that want to be saved, but the false prophets and the sorcerers aren't going to let them. Not if they got anything to do with it. So look at what happens. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, right here, there's a transition here. He's not Rav Shaul, Jim Staley. He's the Apostle Paul. Deal with it. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and he said, oh, you know what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost? It means that you've got Bible verses all in you. That's what that means. He said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil." See that? That's what happens when you hyros the gamos. You get a child of the devil. "Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" You know what that means? That means they pervert the word of God in the King James Bible, and they turn weddings into blasphemous ceremonies. That's what that number 13 represents. Now watch this. I don't know who this is. I don't know who these people are. So got Katy Perry and this other dude coming out. Now he's singing. And now Katy Perry and her other two harlots are doing pole dances. But they're not just any poles. These are brooms. Witches ride brooms. I won't really get into... I'll just say that a witch on a broom is yin and yang. Sons of God, daughters of men. Hieros, gamos. That's what it is. That's what it is. Witches ride brooms and perform witchcraft. God saw it. God sent it. God sent this ceremony to America. God released it. I'll show it to you from the King James Bible. Isaiah 14:22. "For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern." A bittern, look at Isaiah 34:11. "The cormorant, the bittern shall possess it, and the owl also and the raven shall dwell in it." Look out here. 1, 2, 3, 4 creatures with wings. What are those? Mark chapter 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13. Those are devils. Bitterns and owls and cormorants and ravens. Those are all, and they all eat flesh, by the way. They consume flesh. Those are indicative of spirits, devils. So God said that he was going to make it a possession for the bittern in pools of water. Bitterns are the birds that walk around in low tide pools looking for fish. All right? And God said, "I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord." That's where I get that. To sweep it with the besom of destruction. That's what this is. This is God sending in the spirits with wings, and he's sweeping Bible Christianity, he's sweeping everything out that's right with the besom of destruction. All he's going to leave these people, see, God said that he's going to send them strong delusion that they would believe a lie. You know what that means? He's going to take away all the truth. He's going to sweep it with the besom of destruction. And that's what that symbol is of witches on brooms. That is God. Why do you think witchcraft now is so big anymore? God held it back for a long time because people were saying, "Hey, you know what? Let's read the Bible. Let's read the Word of God. Let's go to church. Let's keep the Ten Commandments in our schools. Let's pray." Not anymore. So God is sending in the witches. He's sweeping America with a besom of destruction. This Bible is right. I love it. Now watch this. Now she's singing, "The dancers have made a horse, a dark horse with red eyes." What has that got to? Everything's in the Bible, people. Psalm 32:9. "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding." Look at there. "Whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." You know what this is? This shows a lack of understanding. Dumb people. God told us to be not as that. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something that's connected to that. It's a black horse, right? Zechariah chapter 6, verse 5. "And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits," you see it, of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses, which are therein, go forth into the north country. Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. Did you see that? The black horse quiets the spirit of God. Take a look at it. Not only is God sweeping it with the besom of destruction, he is sending upon it a symbol that represents his word and his spirit being quiet. And you know why? Well, oh, watch this. There is a verse. I just thought of this. There's a verse. David said, Lord, be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be as them that go down into the pit. Not bad. Not bad. So here's the horse, and he has no understanding, and his presence represents the fact that God has silenced himself in this land. Amen. Now, watch this. Let's do this, okay? Here is how Katy Perry started out. She started out in a circle with light and clouds. That's how she started out. Here's how she ended up. I fell into a burning ring of fire. Have you ever thought about that? I went down, down, down as the flames went higher, and it burns, burns, burns the ring of fire. Have you ever just sat and thought about that song? Makes sense now, doesn't it? By the way, that song, one little piece of information I know about this song. When Johnny Cash was going to record that song, he had a dream the night before. He had a dream where he heard those trumpets, those like Mexican-style trumpets, playing along with that song. When he went into the recording studio the next day, he told the producer, he said, we need to get some trumpeters in here. Well, how come? He said, because this is going to go in this song. Johnny Cash had that vision the night before of those trumpets in that song. Think of trumpets. And think of the lyrics. I fell into a burning ring of fire, went down, down, down as the flames went higher. There she is. Now, watch this. Here's Katy Perry performing witchcraft. Witches draw circles. Remember CERN. You remember Shiva in a circle of fire. And Shiva's the destroyer. And I'm telling you, this is about opening up a gate, opening up a portal. Let's get that gate open. That's what these rituals are all about. It's about releasing these powers, earth, wind, fire, and water. It's about getting the portals opened. I'm going to go a little bit over today. See? Well, I caught it just in time, didn't I? But I gotta finish this. You got to see this. This is a witchcraft ritual opening the portal, or trying to. Here is some quotes. When you want to do magic, you need to cast a circle. The circle will protect you. The druids' temples, wherein the sacred fire was preserved, were generally situated on eminences and in dense groves of oak and assumed various forms, circular, because a circle was the emblem of the universe. Most witches consider their spiritual space to be their magical circle. A magic circle is a space where a witch will conduct rituals and ceremonies. It is the gateway between worlds. Spiritual and physical realms come together and allow you to communicate with spirit, conduct spiritual work, rituals, ceremonies, and castings. It was witchcraft. a sacred and purified space in which rituals, this is a circle, magical work and ceremonies are conducted. It offers a boundary for a reservoir of concentrated power and acts as a doorway to the world of the gods. The circle is entered in anticipation of uniting with the gods and the forces of nature, earth, air, fire, and water. Remember those four horned beasts behind her. In a harmonious relationship. And she represented ether. She represented the spirit. So Silver Ravenwood, in her book, To Light a Sacred Flame, she said, I cast the circle hedge between the worlds. Be thou the girdle of the goddess and a protection against all negative energy. Sound like Joel Osteen. I call upon the positive spirits. I can't do my Joel voice today. Of the north, the east, the south, and the west to aid me in this consecration. It's witchcraft, people. Let's get the gates open. Let's get those gates open so we can let that flame out, that divine flame. So you remember, God said, he talked about the circle of the earth, the circle of the heaven, the circuit of the sun, and then he set a compass upon the face of the depth. So we have a circle that's in the deep, and that's what, and it's on, and it's a circle of fire. It's a ring of fire. That's what she's standing in, the ring of fire. Do you remember Eliphas Levi? Eliphas Levi conjured a devil that looks an awful lot like Yoda from Star Wars. How did he do it? Eliphas Levi stood in a circle, said the right words like Honi, the circle maker, said the right words and opened a portal where this magical devil came popping out, all under the guise of Baphomet. You see Baphomet there? Witchcraft. Now watch this. This is happening right now. It is happening in front of our very eyes, and God is allowing it to happen. I believe it is God who is sweeping this country with the besom of destruction. You know what God knows? God knows once he lets these boogers loose, they're going to destroy everything from off this land. That is exactly what he's got in mind. And it's happening in our lifetime. Now, here's what I'd like. Just think about it. I really respect greatly, admiringly, those who have stood on the idea of what they call a pre-tribulational rapture. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. The truth of it is, when I decided to study this book, I decided to just, if you would have asked me 20 years ago, I'm pre-trib. Yeah, pre-trib. Why not? That's the way to go, man. Pre-trib. But I decided to just set it aside. You know what? That doesn't hurt you to do that. It's not going to hurt you. And I don't think I'm hurting anybody by telling you, you know what? Take what you've learned or what you think you know and set it down and go to the Bible and read it. And if God's right, and if it's right, God will put it back. He'll put it back better than what you learned it. That's how much confidence I have in God. That, you know what? That's how much confidence I have in God over me. You don't need me or anybody else to say, now this is how it is, that you just believe this and you'll be fine. You don't need us to do that. What I think we have a role to do is to awaken you to the Word of God. But here's the thing. If you get it from God, you've actually got it. And no man can take it away from you. I want you to consider just for a moment the idea or the possibility that you and I will actually have to prevail against the gates of hell. I want you to consider that. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against what? The church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I'm going to show you what that looks like. God actually drew a picture of the gates not prevailing against his people. God drew a picture. I'm going to show you what it looks like in the Bible. This is so cool. Watch this. Judges 16. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Now, stop right here. Remember, what was the spiritual condition of Sarah when God told her she was going to have a baby? She laughed. She laughed at God because she didn't believe it, and she lied through her teeth about it. What was the spiritual condition of Jacob when he received the inheritance? What was the spiritual condition of Abraham when he received God's blessing? He had just lied about Sarah being his wife. And what was the spiritual condition of Samson when the gates did not prevail against him? He was in bed with a harlot. Am I recommending to you that you should try that? Think about what Paul said. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! But what I'm telling you is, if you've got it in your mind that if you'll just live right and try to do everything right, that God owes you blessings, just remember, Ezekiel 33 says, the moment that you do or think something wrong, all your righteousnesses are gone. That's why we're not saved and can't be saved by our own righteousness. We have to be saved by the righteousness of Christ, which is everlasting righteousness. It's not temporary. Our righteousness is temporary. God's is not. And when God decides to bless you, and when God decides to give you victory, and when God decides to let you prevail, he does so by grace and not by what you've done right. Could I say that Thursday night, when I actually lived through that car accident, could I say that God blessed me with that because I do good all the time? Nope. Oh, but Pastor, you know, you had done, you know, that day you had done this watching the broadcast, and you had done this Pastor Mike online, and you know, you were preaching the truth, and oh, Pastor Mike, you did this and you did that. It's not my works of righteousness. They're filthy rags in God's sight. He did not spare my life, nor the life of my son, by the good that I had done that day. And if I start thinking that, then I am robbing the glory of the cross away from Jesus Christ. And I won't do it. I won't touch it. And I'll get mad if you try it. I will. I'll get unzipped on you. And I mean, I'll just come out. You'll hear me be mad and angry if when people start trying to take away the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. So go back and look at this. He was in bed with a harlot. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in. They made a circle and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, in the gate. And were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight. Matthew chapter 25, when does the bridegroom come? Oh, wow. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all. and put them where? Upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Think of the bridegroom who put something on his shoulders and carried it up to a hill. Oh, wow. How is it that the gates of hell do not prevail against us, the church? By what the bridegroom did when he put something on his shoulders and went to a hill. It's the cross. It's the cross. You know what? I can guarantee you that is not the last satanic ritual that you're going to see on television. It's going to increase, and it's going to get more and more and more. And I just want to encourage you. Number one, be watchful of what's going on. Help me out, all right? Help me watch what's going on in this world. But also, just don't be afraid, okay? Don't fear. Don't worry about it. Listen, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You know, somebody wrote me an email. I'm going to quit. I got to shut up here in a minute. I'm so tired. I can't hardly stand it. Guy wrote me an email, said, Pastor, he said, I love my wife. He said, I love God. I believe I'm saved. He said, but I'm struggling with something. He said, I just cannot. And I said, you know what? Let God have it, and you trust him. And God will save you by his grace and not by your works. Witchcraft rituals going on all around us. Get ready. The time draws near. Are you ready? Are you saved? Call upon the name of the Lord. God will save you. All right. This is Pastor Mike. I love you. And thanks for praying for me. Thanks for being with me. And we will see you tomorrow night. Church service, 7 p.m. Central. God bless you. PropheticResearchMinistry.com. Go to the website.